The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
There's a lot of people running around that don't stay the night, never come through town. And some other people running about that don't take the time to suss you out.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Permian Basin International Oil Show Spectacular. Here we're at the Wireline Podcast Party booth. I am Jason Spies with The Crude Life, and we've got Jason Arsenault with us with Arc Energy. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm good, Jason. How are you, Jason?
You came all the way from Scott, Louisiana, huh?
Live in Houston these days, but I still claim Louisiana, always.
So what's going on in Houston these days? Have they got a football team yet?
We have a partial team. We got lots of traffic back, which you're all glad to see. So
I know you got a baseball team. They're doing pretty good.
Yeah, we like to bend the rules a little bit there, but we're winning, you know.
Hey, man, that's old, man. We don't talk about the White Sox. We don't talk about the Astros. That's old.
We're winning, man.
So let's talk a little bit about oil and gas. First of all, how did you guys get started in the industry, and what does your company do?
Well, so I'm a president and managing board member of Arc Energy Equipment, or Arc Energy as we call it. We design, build facilities, and redeploy them around the world.
You say facilities, what do you mean facilities?
So we build like gas plants, or we call them early production facilities, basically from the inlet, wellhead, manifold, all the way through the meter side. So we'll design and build them kind of in the midstream space, and globally upstream, midstream kind of mend together. So
boy, you are in a place with unlimited opportunity right now.
We are.
Because of that ESG movement that's happening.
There is, yeah.
The horse is out of the barn. There's ESG scores online right now. People can go.
Yeah, I was interested in your ESGU, man. That's cool.
So, yeah, ESGU, we've spoken in 6 states on it now. Yeah. We're going to be doing kind of a special presentation on Thursday. You're more than welcome to join the roundtable board talk. We're going to get several people.
I'll actually be in Pennsylvania. I would love to join, I'm a big ESG guy. What? We're capturing flare and trying to find a way to give the operator a reporting system, right?
So, what part of Pennsylvania?
I'll be going to Washington. Just south of
I used to do a magazine in Washington, PA.
Man. Nice,
right,
man. Yeah,
Pittsburgh,
yeah.
Southeast, a little southeast.
We got an office there, and we do a lot up there in the Midwest. A lot of dehydration, filtration. So we do a lot in the gas space, right?
In the Marcellus,
a lot of gas units, but basically a lot of gathering facilities, midstream operations, filtration. So a lot of gas up there.
So the number one thing that I've heard coming out of the ESG space isn't planting trees, is not meatless Monday, it's not recycling, it's emission management.
Correct, without a doubt.
The number one thing that the dollars are going to, the tax rebates are going to.
Exactly.
The SEC has already developed a task force as of last March.
Wow.
So the horse is out of the barn. Yeah. The economies are already being impacted.
Yeah.
I'm telling the energy industry through the ESG,
you're right,
is that tell your story.
Get now.
Grab a hold of the narrative now, because otherwise they're going to tell the story for you, and right now, emotion is winning over fact.
Emotion is always going to win. Fear selling, et cetera, et cetera. So at ARC, you know, and we didn't talk about this, but we have been recycling since 2011 when we started.
Now, when you say recycling, you're not talking cans.
No, not cans. We're talking pure steel.
You might recycle cans, too.
Hey, we'll do whatever. When we were kids, we grabbed
Pittsburgh Steeler cans.
That's right. We grabbed dad's beer cans, and we recycled, and we got our $30. But, you know, we always were trying to be cool, you know, and say,
cans.
Yeah, that's right. But we always tried to recycle and promote it, USA made, and we just didn't get that impact. Well, when we realized, now with this ESG stuff, we've been recycling millions of tons of steel from new steel, you know, and replacing that. So we in the process of validating, hey, we might be carbon neutral. We don't know this, right? But we're going to go through it, and we're going to also figure out how to give our customer that value. You know, everybody wants to put something on a wall that we're carbon neutral, right? Whatever, et cetera, et cetera. I want to see what can I do for the customer to help their ESG scores, right?
Crude Life has been carbon negative since day one, actually, by design.
Impressive.
I came from the print industry.
Yeah.
And this is no kidding. So at the, I would say 2008, my printer calls me and says, hey, you can now add this new green logo inside your table of contents because we use a soy-based ink.
Ah.
And I went, you mean while I'm cutting down trees to print 10,000 magazines? Yeah. I'm environmental. And I said, absolutely not.
Yeah.
I go, I'm not going to set myself up for that. So I kind of became aware of this ESG
thing, man,
for a while ago.
Yeah.
And then so we consciously, because of the understanding the print side of things, a lot of it was I just couldn't write a $30,000 check every month.
As you shouldn't.
With 90-day receivables, okay? Just the math didn't work out in the timing.
Right.
So,
But
what I'm getting at is that we purposely, because of cost of scale of economies more than anything, we became carbon neutral from day one.
That's impressive.
And it really is.
It is, it is.
And it wasn't until 2016 I realized this because the Meridian Energy Group, I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but they're building the Davis Refinery in the
Bakken. Oh, yeah, I did hear about them.
And they're building one in Kermit, Texas, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they're going to be the cleanest refinery on the planet.
Like a 50,000-barrel refinery
or less. 47.5.
They got under the...
That's how they do it, 47.5.
That's right. That's awesome, yeah.
And so they even give it a little cushion.
Are they capturing the carbon on that? Or are they doing...
Are.
That's awesome.
They're
doing
a lot of different things, in fact. So since 2015-16, the crude life has been doing, like, weekly... ESG updates, but we didn't call it an ESG update.
Exactly,
it was our Meridian Energy Environmental Update.
There you go.
They were completely transparent. The CEO would come on. The head of engineering would come on to talk about the bends of pipes and the reduction of 30% of the emissions and things like that.
Wow.
It blew my mind. Because
I didn't know they were doing that.
And that's
at
what
all.
I'm saying. Zia Engineering out of New Mexico.
Okay.
There you go. There's a plug for you, Zia Engineering.
There you go.
Just some great stuff. Dan Hetherington out of SEH would come in, and he was a project manager, talk about this kite thing they did where they'd raise a kite a certain level, go 5 miles away with binoculars and telescope to see if they could see it to mimic the smokestack.
Awesome.
Things along that. And so these are the transparency things I believe the oil and gas industry needs to tell more of
because
it connects.
Well, first of all, we got to start with what is ESG? I can't tell you how many people come up to us and ask, what does ESG mean, right? How is it scored? You know, the education in our industry, like this organization, should be promoting that, should be doing roundtables, should be putting stuff out there, right? And so for us, right, how can we help the operator capture that score? Because now it's not about, or it is always going to be about, how much oil are you producing, how much gas are you producing, what's your liquids, and hey, by the way, how much carbon are you not emitting anymore, right? That's the score that matters. All of us are doing the social deal, right? We're all giving back. The oil industry helps cancer, helps poverty, all those things. There's great people in this industry, but now we got to worry about that E. That environmental part. It should be out front, and we should get ahead of this, right, Theo? And we should measure it and report it.
We're fueling the world. Why are you picking on oil and gas, people?
You take a kid's cell phone away. You take a kid's iPad away. You take my computer away, right? The number one thing besides for water and food that we need as humans right now is energy. You take that energy away from that kid, and today's world, they're crying. And I promise you, we've been to Nigeria, we've been to Argentina, we've been to Colombia. People want power, right? And so the power need is only growing. We need geothermal, we need renewables. But let's not lie to each other, right? It is what it is. If they gotta be subsidized, let them be subsidized. But it's the reason of balance, not to get rid of oil and gas, right?
There's a fine line between the government-controlled marketplace, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, California is a great example because it's so good, because when I was living they did tremendous advancements on emission management at the pump.
Yep.
Because you couldn't even see the the mountains from the Santa Monica Freeway.
That's correct.
That's when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all of a sudden, going forward, all the cars had to have this sort of engine, and all the pumps had to have some sort of a plastic cover over the top.
Yep.
And within couple years, you can see the mountains again.
That's right.
Tremendous.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, they went a little
too far. That's exactly
because
what
they said was that, you know what, 1992, I believe it was, might have been 93, they said 2% of the state is going to be EV vehicles. And by 1999, 10%. And what happened? The hybrid car market took off.
Mm-hmm.
People started buying hybrids.
Yep.
They liked the fact that they could have a gas car, but also an electric car.
Right.
And the state of California said, ain't good enough.
Yep.
We're going to force you to do more electric. That's the part where I wish the leaders would stand up and say, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
Now we're going too far here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, California is a great case. I think there's a guy on LinkedIn that, forget his name, maybe Mike, somebody, Umbro, I think, does a great job to show that they bring in tankers from Ecuador. that is Chinese oil that's retraded, bring it in, and literally that's burning way more than the oil they're producing in their backyard. I mean, we're dealing with a producer that's paying a dollar an MCF to get rid of gas when gas prices are $6. Makes no sense, right? Like, it's
$6.
They're $5.62, I think, was this morning.
Jeepers,
when you talk about if you bought an asset, you know. Anyway, we can go on for hours about California, all these different things. But I'm with you on ESG. ESG is huge. We need to be promoting it.
Have a question? Know an expert? Or just want your voice heard? Email studio at thecrudelife.com.
Jason Spies with The Crude Life, and you've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Well, Mike has another fabulous offer for each and every one of the listeners out there on his standard MyPillow. You'll receive a standard MyPillow regularly $69.98 now for only $19.98. That's less than $20. This holiday season, give the gift of sleep. A good sleep for only $19.98 regularly $69.98. That's $70 down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and receive Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Or call 1-800-598-4268 and use the promo code Otis. That's a $70 pillow down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us here at the Permian Basin International Oil Show Spectacular. My name is Jason Spies. I'm with the Crude Life. I'm here with the podcast party, and we're being joined by Jamie Long and Marcus Turner with Long Industries. We're here in Odessa. And the Wireline Group, I want to thank you very much for sponsoring this event and bringing us out here as we continue our party. Man, we got Matt Hill and Ken Lavin bopping around. Keith Stelter's up in the auditorium arena, up in the nosebleed seats. I saw him earlier seats, so we'll check in with them later. But Jamie, how are you doing today?
I'm good.
Well, thank you for joining us all the way from Buffalo, Texas, I understand.
Yes, sir.
I spent a week there one night, huh?
Right.
Oh, boy.
Right.
So let's talk about Long Industries, a little history, the genesis of the company, if you wouldn't mind.
You bet. It was a company that was began in 1992 by my family. Initially, we started as a specialty fabricator for the coal sector. But as that energy space kind of abated, we looked more towards oil and gas. So in subsequent years, we began the manufacture of API 12F and API 650 tanks and ASME code vessels, surface equipment. So it's a family-owned company. We've been 30 years in. So
30 years.
Yes, sir.
That's pretty good,
with
man.
All the peaks and valleys therein.
You're what we call a veteran, a heavyweight,
I
and an
suppose.
Expert.
Yes, sir.
By osmosis, if nothing else,
exactly.
You know, growing up in that sort of thing. Did you have any experience in it as a kid? I mean, you can't be much older than 40.
53.
In your 40. You're 53.
53.
Well, you wear it well, sir.
Thank
that
you.
That cowboy hat must keep the sun out nice.
We were going for the train robber look. Did we nail it?
Well, you know, a lot of people with the train robber look, they just think you're coming in a shop now.
There you
you're
go.
You're just wearing one of those COVID masks.
Exactly.
You know?
No,
so,
actually, my dad came from the industry. He was a welder by trade.
Okay.
Kind of a neat story. He ascended from, got off his tools and became an entrepreneur, and the rest is history, so to speak.
It's kind of nice to see those trades making a comeback because, you know, really that's the backbone of this economy.
Exactly.
Is a lot of those welders, pipe fitters, plumbers.
Yes, sir.
Really, those types of individuals, they make the world go round, and it's one of those thankless jobs, welding especially.
Yes.
You know, that is a very difficult job. People don't know it.
Right.
Drywalling, too, by the way. That's why you don't see those guys after they get a check.
Yeah.
They
got
to go drink themselves into numbness after putting up the drywall.
Right.
Anyway, sidebar joke there. But Let's talk a little bit about, you know, do you do other industries outside of oil and gas? Any municipality?
Yes, we do. Not only do we do API 12F tanks, we do API 650 tanks, specialty tanks, and that kind of sets us apart from some of our peers. Marcus, would you like to kind of elaborate on the 650 side and what business sectors that we serve there?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm glad you said yes, because if you'd have said no, that would have been a terrible segue. So here's a little bit more of the traction on that. Mike, go ahead, Marcus.
So we build two different main styles of tanks, API 12F, which is what you see in the oil and gas industry a lot. But then we also focus on the chemical, petrochemical refineries, specialized stuff. So we build API 650 tanks. We're one of four shops in the U.S. that carry the API 650 monogram. So that sets us apart and opens a lot of doors for getting into the bigger majors and stuff like that. So we build a lot of stainless tanks, for instance, cone bottom tanks, mixing tanks. We'll put heat coils in them. So not just a vanilla tank that you would see in the oil field, but a real specialized tank that's one-off. A lot of engineering goes into it, a lot of design work, highly skilled welders and fabricators to do that. It's kind of a barrier to entry. A lot of people don't try to tackle it, but that's one of our niches and our specialties.
One of the things that I've said about the crude life when it comes to the oil and gas industry is that we look at the crude at the oil and gas industry like upstream, downstream, midstream, salmon stream, trout stream.
Absolutely.
Okay, because there are cafe owners, they're just as part of the industry as the roustabouts are. And the flower shop, you're just as important as that CEO, by the way. And a lot of people in the industry, they really know that. And that's really the supply chain at the end of the day, because a cafe is part of the supply chain just as much as a trucker, a talk show host, or long industries, if you will.
Yep, absolutely.
Earlier this week, we had on one of the foremost experts in the nation and actually the world when it comes to supply chain emergency management and crisis management. On the oil spill that happened out in Huntington Beach, that's how the crude life approaches things, is we like to bring solution-based journalism, not pointing fingers at things. So we brought on somebody from the University of Buffalo, New York. New York City! You remember those old commercials?
Oh, yeah.
Get a rope. And so we brought somebody on to talk about it, and she said what happened was is that this California deal, that they're still pointing fingers there, she said, but at the end of the day, it showed that the supply chain isn't a chain, it's a web. What do you guys make about that? The supply chain is really kind of a web, and it's just, you know, one hand doesn't know what the other's doing, and it's almost like a communication issue.
It is. We see that day to day. It's an ongoing battle for us right now, sourcing raw materials for anything from paint to steel. I mean, you think about it, well, it's just the steel industry that's battling the shortages, but it's not. Raw materials for paint has that back ordered. Welding rods, face masks, hoods, everything that we use in our day-to-day manufacturing, it's all tied together. And so one hiccup in the supply chain affects 10 other things.
So that leads me to my next question. You guys can certainly say pass on this, because a lot of these questions I'll float around to people before I bring them on the air. And this one actually kind of, I get some, it's almost like a trigger. They don't want me talking about it, but I'm looking at regulations. Okay, in Colorado, they make you build a wall now around an oil rig. Okay, you go to LA, you got to build some fake school around it, right? And now when we're looking at other regulations, UAS, UAVs, if you will, having to track the methane leaks and all this other stuff, I'm seeing an increase of regulations. And then everything you just said, which is the material costs are coming up, it's like a 1-2, possible 3 punch. So I'm wondering if $100 oil isn't the new $50 oil, or is it the new $60 oil?
I think you're right.
I'm glad to hear that. Let's have this conversation.
At the end of the day, if the question is, do we feel like that the oil and gas space is overregulated? Of course.
And the result
of that is increased energy prices for everyone. So
yes.
I think that, as you said, is our new normal.
So here's what's going to happen, right? All of a sudden you get $80 oil, which is new $50 to $40 oil. In the meantime, every other person that just got forced to put a natural gas furnace in is now paying an arm and a leg for natural gas prices, and now the Democrats are going to say we got to help the people who can't get heat.
Right.
And it's just a kangaroo court like I've never seen in my life, and I just can't believe this 1-2 punch coming our way. It's so bizarre.
Well, how about the big winter storm we had this year?
That was a wake-up call.
I was almost embarrassed. I feel like that our fathers and grandfathers did a better job with energy than we're doing today at present.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, it almost makes you seem like it's either by incompetence or by design.
Yes.
Because either way, it's happening.
Natural gas is to Texas as oil is to Saudi, so to speak. So there shouldn't have been those deficiencies. And
no, absolutely not.
I hope that that was an event that don't reoccur.
All right. Well, any final thoughts? Anything that you want people to know as they prepare for their annual meetings? A lot of annual meetings going on right now.
Right.
A lot of stuff people are preparing for 2022. What's kind of your thought process as either you go in there or that you want people to know?
Well, we're seeing a bit of optimism in the space right now, given WTI and Brent prices rather trending upward. We think that there's going to be better days ahead. Can it get any worse? What do you think?
Who knows? Main thing we've got to focus on right now is we got to focus on doing things here in the United States.
Yes.
You know, there's absolutely no reason why we should be shutting down drilling rigs and shutting down pipelines and asking OPEC to pick up production.
To listen to the full-length interview, visit thecrudelife.com. I'll be keeping my name and kicking this habit.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life, and you've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Well, Mike has another fabulous offer for each and every one of the listeners out there on his standard MyPillow. You'll receive a standard MyPillow regularly $69.98 now for only $19.98. That's less than $20. This holiday season, give the gift of sleep. A good sleep for only $19.98 regularly, $69.98. That's $70 down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and receive Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Or call 1-800-598-4268 and use the promo code Otis. That's a $70 pillow down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code Otis.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us here at the Permian Basin International Oil Show Spectacular. My name is Jason Spies. I'm with the Crude Life. I'm here with the podcast party, and we're being joined by Jamie Long and Marcus Turner with Long Industries. We're here in Odessa. And the Wireline Group, I want to thank you very much for sponsoring this event and bringing us out here as we continue our party. Man, we got Matt Hill and Ken Lavin bopping around. Keith Stelter's up in the auditorium arena, up in the nosebleed seats. I saw him earlier seats, so we'll check in with them later. But Jamie, how you doing today?
I'm good.
Well, thank you for joining us all the way from Buffalo, Texas, I understand.
Yes, sir.
I spent a week there one night, huh?
Right,
oh, boy.
Right.
So let's talk about Long Industries, a little history, the genesis of the company, if you wouldn't mind.
You bet. It was a company that was began in 1992 by my family. Initially, we started as a specialty fabricator for the coal sector. But as that energy space kind of abated, we looked more towards oil and gas. So in subsequent years, we began the manufacture of API 12F and API 650 tanks and ASME code vessels, surface equipment. So it's a family-owned company. We've been 30 years in, so.
30 years?
Yes, sir.
That's pretty good,
with
man.
All the peaks and valleys therein.
You're what we call a veteran, a heavyweight,
I
and an
suppose.
Expert.
Yes, sir.
By osmosis, if nothing else,
exactly.
You know, growing up in that sort of thing. Did you have any experience in it as a kid? I mean, you can't be much older than 40.
53. 40.
You're 53.
53.
Well, you wear it well, sir.
Thank
that
you.
That cowboy hat must keep the sun out nice.
We were going for the train robber look. Did we nail it?
Well, you know, a lot of people with the train robber look, they just think you're coming in a shop now.
Yeah. There you
you're
go.
You're just wearing one of those COVID masks.
Exactly.
You know?
No, so, actually, my dad came from the industry. He was a welder by trade.
Okay.
Kind of a neat story. He ascended from, got off his tools and became an entrepreneur, and the rest is history, so to speak.
It's kind of nice to see those trades making a comeback because, you know, really that's the backbone of this economy.
Exactly.
Is a lot of those welders, pipe fitters, plumbers.
Yes, sir.
Really, those types of individuals, they make the world go round, and it's one of those thankless jobs, welding especially.
Yes.
You know, that is a very difficult job. People don't know it.
Right.
Drywalling, too, by the way. That's why you don't see those guys after they get a check.
Yeah.
They
got to
go drink themselves into numbness after putting up the drywall.
Right.
Anyway, a sidebar joke there. But let's talk a little bit about, you know, do you do other industries outside of oil and gas? Any municipality?
Yes,
or?
We do. Not only do we do API 12F tanks, we do API 650 tanks, specialty tanks, and that kind of sets us apart from some of our peers. Marcus, would you like to kind of elaborate on the 650 side and what business sectors that we serve there?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm glad you said yes, because if you'd have said no, that would have been a terrible segue. So here's a little bit more of the traction on that. Mike, go ahead, Marcus.
So we build two different main styles of tanks, API 12F, which is what you see in the oil and gas industry a lot. But then we also focus on the chemical, petrochemical refineries, specialized stuff. So we build API 650 tanks. We're one of four shops in the U.S. that carry the API 650 monogram. So that sets us apart and opens a lot of doors for getting into the bigger majors and stuff like that. So we build a lot of stainless tanks, for instance, cone bottom tanks, mixing tanks. We'll put heat coils in them. So not just a vanilla tank that you would see in the oil field, but a real specialized tank that's one-off. A lot of engineering goes into it, a lot of design work, highly, highly skilled welders and fabricators to do that. It's kind of a barrier to entry. A lot of people don't try to tackle it, but that's one of our niches and our specialties.
One of the things that I've said about the crude life when it comes to the oil and gas industry is that we look at the crude, at the oil and gas industry like upstream, downstream, midstream, salmon stream, trout stream.
Absolutely.
Okay, because there are cafe owners, they're just as part of the industry as the roustabouts are. And the flower shop, you're just as important as that CEO, by the way. And a lot of people in the industry, they really know that. And that's really the supply chain at the end of the day, because a cafe is part of the supply chain just as much as a trucker, a talk show host, or long industries, if you will.
Yep, absolutely.
Earlier this week, we had on one of the foremost experts in the nation, and actually the world, when it comes to supply chain emergency management and crisis management. On the oil spill that happened out in Huntington Beach, that's how the crude life approaches things, is we like to bring solution-based journalism, not pointing fingers at things. So we brought on somebody from the University of Buffalo, New York. New York City! You remember those old commercials?
Oh, yeah.
Get a rope. And so we brought somebody on to talk about it, and she said what happened was is that this California deal, that they're still pointing fingers there, she said, but at the end of the day, it showed that the supply chain isn't a chain, it's a web. What do you guys make about that, that supply chain is really kind of a web, and it's just, you know, one hand doesn't know what the other's doing, and it's almost like a communication issue?
It is. We see that day to day. It's an ongoing battle for us right now, sourcing raw materials for anything from paint to steel. I mean, you think about it, well, it's just the steel industry that's battling the shortages, but it's not. Raw materials for paint has that back ordered. Welding rods, face masks, hoods, everything that we use in our day-to-day manufacturing, it's all tied together. And so one hiccup in the supply chain affects 10 other things.
So that leads me to my next question. You guys can certainly say pass on this, because a lot of these questions I'll float around to people before I bring them on the air. And this one actually kind of, I get some, it's almost like a trigger. They don't want me talking about it, but I'm looking at regulations. Okay, in Colorado, they make you build a wall now around an oil rig. Okay, you go to LA, you got to build some fake school around it, right? And now when we're looking at other regulations, UAS, UAVs, if you will, having to track the methane leaks and all this other stuff, I'm seeing an increase of regulations. And then everything you just said, which is the material costs are coming up, it's like a 1-2, possible 3 punch. So I'm wondering if $100 oil isn't the new $50 oil, or is it the new $60 oil?
I think you're right.
I'm glad to hear that. Let's have this conversation.
At the end of the day, if the question is, do we feel like that the oil and gas space is overregulated? Of course.
And the result
of that is increased energy prices for everyone. So yes. I think that, as you said, is our new normal.
So here's what's going to happen, right? All of a sudden you get $80 oil, which is new $50 or $40 oil. In the meantime, every other person that just got forced to put a natural gas furnace in, is now paying an arm and a leg for natural gas prices, and now the Democrats are going to say we got to help the people who can't get heat.
Right.
And it's just a kangaroo court like I've never seen in my life, and I just can't believe this 1-2 punch coming our way. It's so bizarre.
Well, how about the big winter storm we had this year?
That was a wake-up call.
I was almost embarrassed. I feel like that our fathers and grandfathers did a better job with energy than we're doing today at present.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, it almost makes you seem like it's either by incompetence or by design.
Yes.
Because either way, it's happening.
Natural gas is to Texas as oil is to Saudi, so to speak. So there shouldn't have been those deficiencies. And
no, absolutely not.
I hope that was an event that don't reoccur.
All right. Well, any final thoughts? Anything that you want people to know as they prepare for their annual meetings? A lot of annual meetings going on right now.
Right.
A lot of stuff people are preparing for 2022. What's kind of your thought process as either you go in there or that you want people to know?
Well, we're seeing a bit of optimism in the space right now, given WTI and Brent prices rather trending upward. We think that there's going to be better days ahead. Can it get any worse? What do you think?
Who knows? Main thing we've got to focus on right now is we got to focus on doing things here in the United States.
Yes.
You know, there's absolutely no reason why we should be shutting down drilling rigs and shutting down pipelines and asking OPEC to pick up production.
To listen to the full-length interview, visit thecrudelife.com. I've been keeping my name and kicking this habit, 'cause that was all
in. For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life, and you've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Well, Mike has another fabulous offer for each and every one of the listeners out there on his standard MyPillow. You'll receive a standard MyPillow regularly $69.98 now for only $19.98. That's less than $20. This holiday season, give the gift of sleep. A good sleep for only $19.98 regularly, $69.98. That's $70 down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and receive Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Or call 1-800-598-4268 and use the promo code Otis. That's a $70 pillow down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code Otis.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
I never let the Joker out my sight. Never went broke on an all or nothing. Never made a bet so out of line till I met you and I hit the ground running.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Permian Basin International Oil Show Spectacular. Oil Show Spectacular. I got so excited, I almost slurred my words there. We're being joined by Jesse Mullins, the editor of the Permian Basin Oil and Gas Magazine. My name is Jason Spies. I am with the Crude Life and the Industrial Forest, and we're going to find out from the man himself what is going on down here in the Permian Basin, because I'm a former magazine publisher myself. And if anybody knows the industry, it's the magazine guy. And radio, too. Radio stays on top of it, too. They do. They're the pulse. Hey, but I'll tell you, the magazines are always a step ahead. So how's it going, by the way?
It's going great, Jason.
Thank you for coming on the program here today. So I've heard of your magazine. I've seen it before. I've read it. It's terrific. Give us the background. How long you guys have been around? The website, the whole deal.
I've been with the magazine for 10 years. And it was it actually started in the Bartlett Shale. The Bartlett Shale. Before the Permian got hot again. And then became Permian Basin Oil and Gas after this took off in 2007, somewhere in there. But I've been with it since 2011.
Okay. Now, I do write, and so we write for Oil Man Magazine. We wrote for Bismarck Tribune, the Dickinson Press, the Bakken Magazines, and a number of different things. And I'm going to throw a couple stories your way.
Okay.
And I'm going to see if you guys cover these too.
Okay.
The first one we did was, or if you know what I'm talking about, we'll just say that.
Yeah.
One of the first stories I did was that this is not an oil boom, it's a technology boom.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the first things I noticed in this. I got into this 2012.
Yeah.
And I started noticing that, you know, oil and gas is driving this boom, but really it's the technology behind this completely. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, they've just found a way to crack the code and take this region, which has produced so much oil over the last 80 years, and has given it new life by, you know, with the frack process. But so many, not just that, I mean, so many other things. It's just been amazing, and it's changed the country and changed the world.
So the other one that we did, I think the second story was that the real winners in this are going to be the picks and the shovels of the gold boom, meaning that, you know, the supply chain, the guys who are selling the equipment to the oil companies, boy, they got a real opportunity. Just like in the gold boom, the people who sold the picks and the shovels and the Levi Strausses were the ones that really did it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's just, it's one of those stories, you know, that it's nice to see the revisiting of those happen. And so those are the types of stories that we like to do with the Crude Life, kind of community building.
Yeah.
A little bit of economic bend to it, of course, the business side of things. But,
what you're saying, it's so true. And, it's a rising tide lifts all ships. But, you know, you think of the E&P companies, and they're the ones that are selling the oil. But it's broad-based, and all of those suppliers, vendors, service companies, they hold a lot of the cards, too, and everybody's poised to make money.
You know, one of the other things that we'd like to talk about here on the Crude Life is the growth of some of the trades that are happening, the welders, the pipe fitters. They were dying for a long time. I mean, everybody and their mother was pushing you to go to a four-year school.
Yeah.
Literally,
yeah.
Your mother was pushing you to go to a four-year school. It's just neat to see that a lot of the trades are coming up. And I've talked to quite a few guys that are now welding around here and doing.
Uh-huh.
Are you seeing a little bit of a spurt of those trades coming back down here in the Permian?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. And it started
either through advertisers or through, editorial.
It started a few years ago. You start hearing talk about that. But the wages came up, you know, and the opportunities came up, and the shortages came up. You know, and so, people are seeing that a lot. But, I say it's very broad-based.
Is there any stories in the last decade or 15 years that just stand out to you as, you know, that one surprised me? Or, hey, guys, you better listen. You know, something that just stood up for whatever reason.
I'll tell you one thing. One of the biggest stories we got onto when I was new with the magazine is, and this would have been around 2011, 2012, 13, when the boom was really taking off, is that a lot of the majors had moved out and gone overseas, gone offshore and everything. You know, everybody knows that happened in the 80s, you know, but the people who are left here in the Permian Basin, when we were cracking the code, like we were talking about a little bit ago, were independents. These independent oil companies, and they are the ones who pulled off the Texas miracle and opened these fields up and just revolutionized everything. And it is a technology boom, you know. So that's been a big story to me. American ingenuity and down home. This area was sort of left to sort of taper. And because people pulled out because the big volumes weren't coming out, you know. But now look at it. I mean, it's the biggest thing in the world in terms of oil.
No, and you're the editor. You're not the salesman, but I'd be remiss if we didn't at least let your salesman have a opportunity to solicit some advertising and sponsors and everything like that. How can people get in touch to do any of that stuff?
Just go. It's Permian Basin Oil and Gas Magazine. It's pboilandgas.com. Just go there. You can download anything you want, get phone numbers, contact information. We'd love to hear from you.
Including editorial.
Yes. Huh? 5,000 circulation. You're reaching the leaders and the movers and shakers in this industry. We are affiliated with the Permian Basin Petroleum Association, the big trade organization, which is made up of all the big players in this area. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of a mouthpiece for them too. So you're really talking to them when you talk through us.
Well, keep up the good work. As somebody who understands the media, I can tell you, it's not always about the quantity, it's about the quality.
Yeah.
And I share the same thing where I tell people that at the end of the day, it's more about who's listening, who's reading,
yeah,
and the decision makers, as opposed to the likes and the shares. Yeah. And that just,
you guys are tapping the same thing we are.
Totally.
And the demographics are high. These are influencers. These people have money.
Mm-hmm.
They spend it in a lot of different ways on a lot of different things. It's a great market to be in.
Well, I appreciate your time today, sir. Thank you very much for the time and interview. And
thank
you. God bless.
To listen to the full-length interview, visit thecrudelife.com.
Life, 5,000 candles, 5,000 candles burning bright on the light you could handle. 5,000 candles here at night. They keep telling me you're selling your face, and that soon enough I'll see that I'm crazy for loving you the way that I do, because you could love somebody like you. They say you're too damn small, and I won't pretend it don't matter at all. But no matter what the trouble ahead, I still won't regret this time that I spent. Sad to be a hold, nothing you could do would make me.
Hey folks, Jason speaks with The Crude Life, and you've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Well, Mike has another fabulous offer for each and every one of the listeners out there on his standard MyPillow. You'll receive a standard MyPillow regularly $69.98 now for only $19.98. That's less than $20. This holiday season, give the gift of sleep. A good sleep for only $19.98 regularly $69.98. That's $70 down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and receive Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Or call 1-800-598-4268 and use the promo code Otis. That's a $70 pillow down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.